In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord. The feast of Saint Stephen, December 26th, the day after the celebration of the blessed nativity of our Lord, the birth of the Son of God in human flesh, who was laid in the manger to be our Savior. This feast of Saint Stephen is an antidote for all of those who think that Christmas is a time to forget the realities of life and the harsher things of human existence. Horrific wickedness and sin, evil of every stripe surrounds us in our world today, and we contend with the self-righteous evil that is within us. So the feast of Saint Stephen reminds us of why we need a Savior and what that Savior came to do. For all of the holy martyrs, all of the holy witnesses, bear witness to him whose very martyrdom and the shedding of his blood upon the cross is the fountain and source of our salvation. How very like Christmas it is, at the end of this lengthy account of the martyrdom of Stephen, when they finally reject what he has to say and they run at him with clenched teeth and shaking their fists and they pick up stones to hurl at him. Stephen looks up and he sees the glory of God. Like the shepherds on the Judean hillside saw the glory of God shining around them and the angel of the Lord, and they were sore afraid, but Stephen wasn't afraid. For he was proclaiming the same message that the angel of the Lord proclaimed to those shepherds: "Do not be afraid. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." That word was for Stephen. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of the stones that they hurl at you. Do not be afraid of the rejection. Do not be afraid of the persecution. Do not be afraid of martyrdom. For there is born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. It was in the strength of that gospel that Stephen was able to do all things through Christ who strengthened him to bear faithful witness to the blood of his Savior and to the faithfulness of the Lord in the gospel for a people who had for so many centuries struggled to believe it and often rebelled against the Lord. But Stephen proclaimed that the Lord was faithful to his promises. The sermon of Stephen is a wonderful example of how Christ's death and resurrection and the call to repentance and faith in Jesus is to be preached in the church today. And it is to be done so from the Old Testament scriptures. It is an amazing sermon as Stephen chronicles the entire Old Testament history from the call of Abraham, their sojourn in Egypt, their rejection of the Lord's saving work, their building of the golden calf, and how they continue to struggle with faith in the promise as they push back against God throughout their entire history. But through it all, the Lord was faithful to them. That's the glory of God. The glory of God is His faithfulness in love for His people according to His promise. St. Paul says, when we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. You know, the history of the Old Testament children of Israel is not flattering, and not by any means. Abraham had his sin, parading his wife off as his sister to save his own skin. The 12 sons of Jacob, in jealous anger, sold their brother Joseph into slavery. That's the reason they found themselves in bondage in Egypt. It all began with that contempt for their brother, who was a prophet of the Lord. And they were brought in Egypt to sojourn there, and for 400 years, they were taught the futility of trying to be their own savior. And so they cried out to the Lord for salvation, and when they did, the Lord was absolutely faithful. He saw their affliction, as He sees our afflictions when we cry out to Him, Lord, save me, Lord, help me. And He was true to His word. And Moses, at 80 years of age, saw the glory of the Lord at the burning bush, the glory of God's redeeming love. That's why he had to take off his shoes. It was holy ground, because the God of redemption was going to act for a people who didn't deserve that redemption. And He sent Moses to Egypt. And my goodness, through a mighty, strong hand, He delivered them before two nations of people. Israel and Egypt beheld the marvelous works of God in the plagues that confronted Egypt in judgment for their idolatry, and in the beautiful work of salvation as they are brought through the Red Sea on dry ground, all because the blood of the Passover lamb had set them free. All of this pointed forward to the great deliverance in the blood of the true Passover lamb, our Lord Jesus. But what did they do in response? They built the golden calf and they worshiped it. This is the God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of house of bondage. Are you kidding me? This is the God? This golden calf? No, this is the God. The God who was born in the manger. The God who was faithful to His promises of love. The God who would go to the cross. And the God whose followers learned to believe in His forgiveness and faithfulness for themselves first, that in the strength of that mercy and faithfulness, they might proclaim the gospel to others for their salvation, even if it costs them their life. Did you notice how Stephen not only preached the call to repentance and faith in Christ from the Old Testament scriptures? When he condemned their self-righteousness, their arrogance and pride, he did not do so out of malice or hatred, but out of love for his countrymen. As Paul would see in the countrymen to whom he proclaimed the gospel, the same kind of unbelief that at one time possessed him. So Stephen, in his witness to the blood of Christ, was able to pray for his enemies and persecutors, desiring that their sin not be held against them, because he saw himself as a part of that congregation and also the object of a love and a forgiveness that he did not deserve. Stephen's message was firm and unyielding as he exposed sin and impenitence, but it was not delivered out of hatred. He preached in this way, like his Lord Jesus preached, because he desired to save his hearers. When they reject his message, they came at him with the face of devils. But his face shone with the same glory of God that the children of Israel beheld on Moses' face, and that the shepherds saw in the glory of God that shone around them on the Judean hillside. It is a reflection of God's grace and mercy in the gift of His Son. There will only be two reactions to the proclamation of the gospel. Either the call to repentance will be greeted with repentance and contrition, or with rejection in impenitence and unbelief. There is no middle ground. Stephen was faithful to the word he preached, to the gospel he proclaimed, because the Lord Jesus had been faithful to him. He did not compromise the truth. Like his Lord, who wept over Jerusalem and prayed for the forgiveness of his enemies as they commended him to death, so Stephen commended himself to his Lord and prayed that the sins of his persecutors would not be charged against them. Can there be any greater testimony to someone who believes the gospel than one who is willing to die for the gospel at the hands of those who hate him, and to die for them in selfless love and mercy? Stephen's preaching and prayer for his enemies and persecutors is how they beheld the glory of God, though they did not recognize it at the time. But Stephen's preaching and prayer for his enemies and persecutors would bear fruit in God's good time, as one by the name of Saul, from the city in Asia known as Tarsus, who had led the stoning persecution effort against Stephen, would meet the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus, and his heart would be transformed. In that day, it would be said of the converted Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, "He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith he once tried to destroy." Persecution, suffering, and even martyrdom for the cause of the gospel give faithful testimony to him who, by his persecution and martyrdom, won the salvation of the world. No wonder Paul, in his preaching after his conversion, would be as faithful as Stephen in his martyrdom, because he, like Stephen and all those who have gone before, were a part of the congregation of sinners for whom Christ shed his blood. In faithful suffering at the hands of persecutors, Christ's undeserved love for the unworthy is manifest. And in his church, the promise of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount is fulfilled. "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Typically, the first Sunday after Christmas displays for us in the Gospel of St. Luke the tender account of Jesus being brought into the temple at 40 days of age for his presentation, and the aged Simeon taking him up in his arms and prophesying those words that we sing at the conclusion of the Holy Communion: "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word." If we have Christ, the virgin-born Son of Mary, laid in a manger and crucified under Pontius Pilate, if we have Christ and his mercy and forgiveness, then we have all things, and we are prepared to depart this life in peace. We must never forget what Simeon, in that tender moment, also prophesied to Mary concerning her son, how a sword would pierce through her own heart. He spoke of the crucifixion. And the piercing suffering of Mary's heart was not merely a mother who loved her son, seeing her son die a horrible death. But in that moment, Mary understood that her son was her Savior, dying for her. Who can fathom the depth of this love? But it is this love that Mary continually pondered in her heart, and it is this love which was the strength of Stephen to pray for his enemies and to preach faithfully and to fall asleep in Jesus at peace. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.